This is Launching Your Daughter Podcast, and I'm your host, Nicole Burgess, licensed marriage and family therapist. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. Now, here is today's episode. Episode 56. Well, welcome everybody. My guest today is Mari Lee, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and she's a certified sex addiction therapist and the founder of Growth Counseling Services in Glendora, California. She's a best-selling author, a popular national speaker, and a business coach supporting therapists in developing multiple income streams. Additionally, Mari is the co-founder of the annual Shine Retreat for Women in Laguna Beach, California, and we're going to talk a little more about that at the end of this episode. So I'm so excited to have you on today, Mari, and talking about kind of our women caregivers and supports that are out there for our teen girls. And so I would love if you can share a little more with our listeners, a little bit more about you.
Well, hi, Nicole, and hi, listeners. I am so, so excited to be here with you. I have heard so many wonderful things about your podcast and just our interactions together, Nicole, over this year have been so fabulous. So it is such an honor and a treat to be here with you. And I am excited about our topic today of how to support caregivers in non-traditional roles who are doing the mothering and the nurturing of teen girls in the world. So really happy to be here with you.
And there are so many caregivers out there, as you and I've talked about this, that really sometimes don't get the recognition and want to try and raise the awareness a little more that it really does take a village to raise kids and teenagers. And you've got some really good kind of insight into this. And so I would love it if you could talk a little more. I know you have told me that, you know, you were a foster care kid and you had a lot of incredible women caregivers. So would you mind sharing a little more about your story?
Oh, I would be happy to. Thank you, Nicole. Sure. So I'm very open about my history in foster care. I was placed into foster care system when I was 2 years old and left a rather abusive situation from my birth family and then entered into foster care. And I was in foster care for several years and adopted when I was an older child to a couple. And during that experience of foster care years, I had lots of non-traditional mothering figures, some great and some not so great, as is the story of most foster care kids. But it was so important for me to have teachers, to have counselors, to have older foster care sisters, even foster care grandmothers that would come along. And then once I was adopted, unfortunately, my situation and my sister as well, we were adopted into a family that was very abusive. I'll be 55 this summer. And so thankfully, the foster system has changed quite a bit over you know, all of the years since I was in foster care, you know, almost 50 years ago now. So I'm very thankful about that. But at the time, unfortunately, there were not as many filters and assessments for people who could adopt. And so my sister and I were adopted into a very abusive household. And what was so important about that, because the adoptive mother was, I think, mentally ill. I don't know, but that is my assumption, and untreated in that mental illness. It was really important for me to connect with other nurturing women who could provide good care to me and provide role modeling in mothering. And some of those women were, I had an aunt who was very instrumental in modeling good nurturance to me. I had a Girl Scout leader that I really liked a lot. I had a Bible study leader that I really enjoyed. Gosh, I'm thinking about the women we were required, my sister and I, to work in strawberry fields when we lived in Oregon for a period of time, which was hard work, but a good experience. You know, I didn't think so at the time, but I can look back on it now and I appreciate the experience for a lot of reasons. And the women that worked those fields were very nurturing to my sister and I. And I'm deeply appreciative of that. And then as I got older, my girlfriends in school, especially junior high and especially high school, their mothers were very loving. I think their mothers probably noticed what was going on in the home and unfortunately, for whatever reason, didn't report that, but did show me a lot of love and a lot of consideration and kindness within the home. So I was very fortunate. There were specific women that really came up alongside me, even to this day, Nicole, which is neat. I have been blessed with a wonderful circle of female friendships and male friendships. Just really so fortunate in that respect. And several of my dear girlfriends' mothers have been especially nurturing to me. My partner, Dan, his mother, Kathleen, has been just a wonderful nurturing presence, probably one of the top nurturing presence in my life. And really, for almost 20 years now, I've been with Dan for 17 years. So she's been a big part of that healing. And my best friend, Dawi, her mother, Blanca, has been part of my life for 25 years and really is like a surrogate mother to me as well. So, and I'm a godmother myself to girls who have had their own challenging relationships with their mothers. So when I think about that personal history that I have walked that particular journey, I am so incredibly grateful for the women who stepped into those the not typical mothering roles, mm-hmm. because I really didn't have either my biological mother or my adopted mother who could, for whatever reason, provide that kind of healthy care for me.
So I love you talking about all the different women that have crossed your path or are still in your path, and how, for whether if you're a single dad out there listening to this, pay attention to who is in your circle, meaning whether do you have a sister who is your daughter's aunt? Do you have a parent that can help raise your daughter in that sense if you don't have your wife or her mom is no longer alive, or maybe she just has a strained relationship with her, that there's other women that can also help kind of be that mother figure, not only to help her, but to help you as well in the sense of supporting her where she is. And if you're a single mom, it's also, you don't have to do this on your own. What are some of the other women in your life that can help support you and your daughter going through this journey? And you were talking about whether it's, your girlfriend's moms, though, those parents, right, moms and the dads, they can really mm-hmm. play some big roles in supporting teen girls. Because I know sometimes the girls that I work with, they worry about what they tell their mom and dad. So if mom and dad have a good relationship or rapport with their daughter's friends' parents, that helps them create a trusted relationship where if their daughter's like, oh, I got to run this by somebody, that may be an adult that they can do that mm-hmm. with, and then, have that additional support. So I really appreciate you coming on and talking about all the different ways women can play some truly caregiving roles and a mother figure role for our listeners today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to do that. As you were sharing that, and I love that encouragement that you're giving to the single parents, both mothers and fathers out there. But as you were sharing that, Nicole, I had a memory come up for me where moving down from Oregon to California, I was 13, which we know is a really critical age mm-hmm. for teen girls, right? So I'm leaving 7th grade at that time. Middle school was 7th grade and 8th grade. So I'm leaving 7th grade, leaving a couple of best friends in Oregon, and then coming down to California and, to this big school that was K through 12 in Los Angeles County, in fact, in Pasadena. And it just felt overwhelming, just the whole demographic was different. I was quite shy mm-hmm. and so wasn't really sure how I was going to connect and make friends. And again, it was always a requirement, which I'm grateful for now, that we work and that we earn money. And so I created these little flyers and I took them around the neighborhood for babysitting. And there was a lady that lived across the street, across and down the street, a couple of houses, that worked during the day. She was a single mom going through a divorce, and she had two children. And she needed a babysitter, especially in the summers, not only to take care of the kids there, but sometimes to travel with her when they went on vacation so that she could have adult time with her sister or you know, her significant other, which was really exciting. What I really appreciated about this particular woman who I worked for several summers was she really became that surrogate mother to me during the summer. She saw and understood really what was going on in the home. Again, I'm not sure why that wasn't reported, but for whatever reason, mm-hmm. it just wasn't at that time. And I think reporting laws were different then, and just a lot of factors. But she was so nurturing, and it was so fun. I loved going over there. I remember one summer that we were on vacation, she took me shopping, and she bought me a really cute, kind of trendy sundress. And she allowed me to hide that at her house because it would not have been it wasn't risque or, you know, awful, but my parents were very conservative and we weren't allowed to wear what were called spaghetti straps at that time, little straps on dresses. We couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And so I just loved being able to go over there and knowing that my little dress hung in her closet. She showed me how to use, you know, lipstick and how to put on eye makeup. We talked about things like boys. Mm-hmm. She was really neat. You know, she just allowed me to not feel shame about some of the things that I was curious about and not to feel afraid, you know, to talk to her. So I think, you know, that's important that we think about that, whether we're hiring babysitters to come in or we're providing some kind of nurturance in ways that we may not even realize that decades later, a woman, me here mm-hmm. in our chat today, Nicole, that comes up in my memory as a place of gratitude for that woman that I worked with for 3 summers. She made a big impact on my life.
Well, she definitely did. I mean, she gave you a safe place to, as you're saying, have a lot of dialogue and not feel shame about the questions you have. And what I also like indirectly, she role modeled to you self-care. So having a babysitter to help out with her kids and to be able to spend time with other adults, right, where she knows mm-hmm. her kids are taken care of, really helps mm-hmm. out to say, you know, adults also need kind of their own time away from their children. And that makes it a win-win situation.
Yes, I agree. Yep.
Love that. Mm-hmm. So I want to kind of change it just a touch then. We have talked a little bit about, you know, I know you witnessed this kind of over the years where you were saying sometimes caregivers, oh, they kind of make this message of, oh, one day I'll get to my dream. And mm-hmm. they kind of put everything on hold. So how can caregivers really incorporate more play and rest into their life so that they don't put those dreams on hold?
I love this question so much. And, you know, I think those of us who end up in caregiving roles, whether we are in traditional mothering roles, whatever traditional means these days, right? Mm-hmm. Or whether we end up in clinical roles like you and I are in, where I'm a therapist, you're a therapist, I work with women. I used to work with teen girls as well, mm-hmm. but now I work primarily with mothers of teen girls. And of course, given my specialization, I work with female partners of sex addicts as well. So I do a lot of nurturance and a lot of healing trauma in my clinical work. So those of us who are in caregiving roles, whether it's a teacher, you know, a mother, grandmother, godmother, stepmother, whatever that is, you know, nurse, you name it, mm-hmm. Clinician, I have found, and I don't know about you, Nicole, but I have found that in these roles, the more nurturing one is, sometimes the less self-care we give to ourselves. We put our own needs at the bottom of the list. And I think part of that has to do with trauma, right? I mm-hmm. think part of that has to do with what was modeled to us. I think part of it is, at least for me in my own journey, was the more I can focus in on supporting other people and helping other people, the less I have to think about areas of my own life that I need to heal and grow in. And so it's easier then, right, to be that person that everybody comes to for support versus going on the inside and taking that inventory and saying, wait a minute, I'm feeling exhausted, or I'm feeling burned out, or I'm feeling resentful, right? Mm-hmm. Or I'm feeling sad, but I don't want to think about being sad. So I'm just going to outrace to that feeling of being angry or sad and focus in on how I can help other people and just do and do this treadmill of doing and doing and doing.
Yeah.
And so eventually that will catch up with a person. I know, I lived it. And what happens is there's a feeling of resentment, a feeling of when is it my turn, or the body begins to break down a little bit. There's aches and pains you're noticing, or stomach issues, which was part of my story. And the body is telling you, hey, we need to slow down and we need to have our own cup filled up. It's time for you to start nurturing your own inner child. It's time for you to start connecting with fun again and with your dreams that you've put on the back burner. And so ways that women can do that and ways that I've done that is I've incorporated a fifth week into my clinical schedule, meaning that I see therapy clients for 4 weeks, and then I take a fifth week off, and I'm putting air quotes around the word off, right? Because I use that time for, you know, interviews like this or speaking or writing, you know, writing a book or whatever it is, you know, or just time for myself just to relax. I also have incorporated other income streams into my practice, Nicole, which you're aware of, whether that's paid public speaking or I do a lot of coaching, as you mentioned, for other therapists that I absolutely love. And that feels like nurturance as well. But essentially, what I really decided to do, and this only, I wish I could say I learned this lesson earlier than in my late 40s, but it really wasn't until my late 40s where I realized, you know, Mari, you've got to plug back into fun again and connection. And for me, connection is intentional time outdoors in nature, whether that's hiking or swimming in the ocean or taking a yoga class, whether it's going to women's retreats or connecting just over lunch in a movie with a girlfriend, or even just meeting for, you know, tea somewhere in the little village, going for a bike ride, having time with my kitties. Fun time, sometimes just binging on Netflix, you know, setting aside a PJ day on a Sunday and saying, okay, you know, what's on my Netflix queue? I just want to pop some popcorn, get the PJs on, and just relax and watch Netflix, which is great. So we don't always have the time as busy women to do that. But I do think it is so important to incorporate that on a regular basis and schedule it in just like you would schedule in anything else, whether that is a clinical appointment to support a client, or whether that's driving your child to a soccer game, or whatever it is that you do for others, to really find time with intention to schedule in self-care. And we therapists talk a lot about that. We share that a lot, right? Yeah. With our clients and with our loved ones. But the dirty little secret of therapists is we don't really practice that very well. And I'm sort of all about creating a movement of self-care, especially among women, because we give so, so much to our relationships.
And I think, you know, to piggyback off of that, I think there's still this motto or message that sometimes comes from, I want to say, our society that, you know, women have to do it all. And especially for moms, caregivers, those in that role, that it's like you need to be juggling everything all the time and not really have that downtime like you're talking about. And you incorporated both two different pieces. One, downtime of just truly, you know, relaxing, whether that's, you know, I talk a lot about taking a bubble bath or, like you said, going out into nature, because that studies have shown how when we reconnect with nature, stress levels go down, our all that stuff, worries, stress levels, depression goes down because we're getting back in touch with nature in that rhythm. Then the other piece you talked about, if you're a caregiver and you have your own business or you're in the workforce, whatever that may look like for you, being able to still have space for your other dreams, whether that be a hobby, maybe it's starting your own business or doing something to that effect. As you're saying, be intentional by scheduling time for it. And if you don't do that, it can't happen. So yeah, that this whole self-care piece and being able to play and actually, you know, create your dreams and make them happen is so important for all of our caregivers and parents that are listening to this, for sure.
It really is such an important point, because we know as therapists, right, Nicole, that human beings are designed to be relational. We're designed to be in relationship with others. And if all we are is in that robotic mode of doing, you know, running, that is not healthy for us. Our systems do begin to break down. Mm-hmm. We feel it, right? We feel it in our hearts. There's a yearning. There's a feeling of, you know, well, when I have enough time and when I have enough of this or whatever the, you know, when is, yeah, fill in the blank, right? Yep. And it just never comes. For me, it didn't. It was year after year after decade after. It just never stopped. And so I do think it is important that we share that message of self-care. It's not just platitudes. It is really important because it allows us to be our very best self. And when we give ourselves space, it's so neat to see what can happen in that space, what we can create, whether that is writing a book or starting a business or taking up a new hobby like painting or sculpting or dance or whatever that is, or traveling somewhere we never thought we would be able to go to. Unless we make room for that in our lives, that's important. And that relational piece, right, the connection with others, that is so incredibly important, especially for caregivers, because we're either around children all day, or if we are, for example, a therapist, we are sort of isolated in our practice. And even for non-therapists, non-mothers, there are women who have been really hurt and wounded by other women. So it feels super scary, right, mm-hmm, to connect. If they experience, like teenagers experience this mean girl syndrome, or they were very shy, I was a very shy teenager, or introverted, mm-hmm, it feels really scary then to go out and connect with women or even join a women's group, because it can bring up old trauma. Will I be rejected? Will I not fit in? And so we women need to also reach out and connect with women like that too. And that's another way that we can give back around the nurturance piece while taking care of ourselves, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, going with this next question, you know, it's like, well, how does that kind of, for caregivers, if they're doing that nurturing piece and they're doing the self-care, how does that actually even benefit the teen girls that they're, you know, in relationship with in their life, whether that's truly taking care of them or being part of their life? How does that actually, what does that actually do, I guess, for that relationship? How does that help them out?
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is such a good question. I love it. We are cruising along here, vibing together, Nicole. It's such a great question. Thank you. Thank you. Really insightful. So here's an interesting thing. What came to my mind was many years ago when I did work with teen girls, I started at an agency that I was working at when I was an intern. I realized, gosh, we have all of these activities and supports for parents, you know, who are coupled up, mm-hmm, and, you know, grandparents and men and women, but where is our adolescent girl support? So I started a group called the Star Group for Teen Girls. And I think, gosh, I'm really hearkening back, so forgive me. But I think STAR stood for strength, together, acceptance, and restoration, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I had, I believe, six or eight girls in the group. And I worked with them for a couple of years, and I loved it. And one of the things that they consistently would bring up that I thought was really interesting, especially when I would meet with a mom and the teen girl, is they wish that their mothers would take more time for themselves. Now, they didn't outwardly say, hey, Mari, I wish my mom would take more time for herself, right? Because teen girls, you know, like all of us, can be a bit egocentric, and that's, mm-hmm, part of the developmental process. That is not a bad thing, by the way. And they are very pure focused. But the way that that would come up would be, you know, well, I can't really relate to my mom because my mom doesn't hear me. She's running all the time. She's so focused on everything else that she, you know, making sure this or that happens, or she's always working, or I heard the word workaholic a lot, mm-hmm, from the teen girls, and they understood, you know, they understood part of that, especially because a lot of these teens in my group had single mothers. So they understood that that was part of what mom had to do. But as I would work with the teen girls, and then sometimes moms would come in and meet individually with the teen, you know, so, mm-hmm, the teen and the mom would meet with me, I would share with them, you know, she's really craving some quality time with you. And also, I began to incorporate self-care for moms. So if you could, I kind of did that Freaky Friday thing where they trade places, right? So I would say, okay, so for this homework assignment, I want you guys to trade self-care roles. So mom, if you could have, you know, so now you're her, how are you going to take care of yourself? And, you know, it was nothing that the teenager wanted to hear. Well, I would eat more fruit and vegetables. So I'll be doing that, you know, and then I would, you know, get more sleep, you know, and this and that, right? Read a book, you know, that kind of thing. And so, and then the teenagers, what was so funny was a lot about, well, I would go shopping and I would definitely get my hair colored and, and then pretending that they were in their mom's body. And I don't know when the last time I got a pedicure, but boy, you know, I think it's time to do that. And while I'm at it, I think I'm going to go see a fun movie with my friend, you know, and they would come in and it was so sweet because it really was what the other needed, right? And so they would come back a week or two later and report on this. And it was this really sweet bridge of connection. So yeah, you know, taking care of yourself, how does that benefit a teen girl? You are modeling. I know from the teens that I have been blessed to have in my life, what they share with me are things like, they share things like this. Mari is a straight shooter. I respect you, Mari, because you have a good sense of humor, or they like the music that I listen to, even if it's some of them are kind of oldies like Elton John or whatever, they like it. They think that I quote unquote dress cute, you know, that kind of thing. They like that I take care of my appearance and they like that I can connect to that child within me, that teen within me, but still have good boundaries and still be a safe place to land. And it's important for me to model to the teens in my life that I care about my home, for example, or I'm going to keep my car clean. You know, simple little things like that can go a long way. And one thing, one more thing, Nicole, not to be too verbose here. Obviously, I'm excited about this question, but I also think that, and a really important thing too, is to help teens with money, right? To help learn how to manage money and what that looks like. They're very curious about this and they're watching.
Yeah, they definitely are. I have conversations weekly with families about budgeting, managing money, whether they, a lot of them, I will go back and say that over the years that I've worked with families, didn't have role models to how to do that. So when I work with the parents and they can then work with their daughter and the girls, you're absolutely right. They are fascinated by it. They want to know how to be able to manage that as they prepare to leave the home. And that is, that's part of that self-care piece. And it's that life skill that they're really wanting to have.
And also knowing that, so if what they're seeing is mom never takes any time, never invests anything into herself, meaning she never buys a new pair of shoes or she never goes and gets her hair done or she never goes to a, you know, therapy or group or retreat or you name it or a concert or whatever, you know, I guess that means that I can't do those things either. There's a poverty mentality and a scarcity mentality that we unconsciously, unwittingly pass along to teen girls. I know definitely that was passed along to me where we feel like, can I provide for myself a good living for myself, make a good living and still create a life that is enjoyable where I can treat myself, you know, obviously within my budget on occasion. And, you know, that's, I don't know. I think we need to come up with an acronym that says splurge, you know, something around, you know, safely being able to provide for ourselves. Treats and timeouts. So yeah.
Well, and I'd love, as you were saying, how the girls that you've worked with over the years too, really, they still say that today with the teen girls that I work individually and then in the group setting of watching their mom or the women in their lives, how they are. They're busy, busy, busy. And they're like, oh, you know, they so-and-so called them, but they couldn't go to the, you know, have a girls' night out or, you know, weekend with them or anything like that because there's too much going on. And they get that, you know, moms and the women in their lives are helping support them and they don't, they're not putting that down. They're not making it, they're not minimizing it. I'll say that. And at the same time, they do get, they're like, man, they just are on the go all the time and seem really stressed out. And so they pick that up and they do love and care about those ladies in their life and their moms in their life. And they really want them to have more of that self-care piece. So I love that Freaky Friday exercise that you had done with your teen girls and moms. That's a great idea. So
It's nice to have them assign things to one another too. And also I've had mother and daughters before where, you know, we'll do a Dreamweaver jar, right? Mm-hmm. And each one will do, they'll decorate their jar in a certain way. And I'll say, okay, put into your jar what your hope is, what you are really wanting to save for, what is a little dream that you have just for yourself, mom, and you, daughter, just for you, something that you really, someplace you want to go or something that you want to buy. What is that thing or that place or experience? And then what is it that you want for the other? So you put in your own dream, then allow your daughter to drop in her dream for you and vice versa. And then open those up and read them to each other. So maybe that would be, you know, my dream for my mom is to be able to have a car, you know, a new car. Mm-hmm. Or my dream for my daughter is to be able to have a new school wardrobe for her senior year, whatever that is. I've heard all kinds of things over the years, right? Mm-hmm. And then we just start saving, right? So yeah. You know, saving what you can and imagining that, you know, the jar is a place of attracting wealth, right? And putting little affirmations. So even if you don't have a dollar or change or even now and then a $5 or $10 bill to go in there, and you may not, write an affirmation. If that week you don't have anything to put in your jar, then put an affirmation in there that attracts that, right? Not to sound too woo-woo, you know, but it could be a prayer, it could be a meditation, it could be an affirmation, whatever your place of belief is, to say, you know, I believe that I will, you know, get this car. I believe that I can go to therapy or go to this retreat or have that vacation or whatever it is, or buy that computer, and then put a picture of that in there. So even if you don't have the dollar bills, and then watch what happens. It's a little bit different than a vision board, these Dreamweaver jars, but kind of the similar concept, except we're putting in money and we're watching it grow and we're seeing what happens. And I'm telling you, Nicole, the stories that I have heard are nothing short of miracles. And I really mean that, where, you know, I've had clients come in with huge smiles on their face or text me or send me an email. I can't wait for my session this week, Mari. You are not going to believe what happened.
That's
and then
awesome.
They'll come in, yeah, and share just some really cool thing that allowed them to move closer to their dream or actually achieve their dream. It is really neat. Yeah.
Well, and I like that, because I often will talk about like vision boards with my clients, but I love that this dream jar, right, or Dreamweaver jar, it's much more interactive.
Yeah.
So I love that. So there's intentions that go in there, the affirmations or whatever, or true money that goes into
yes.
that. I love that. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Well, as we start to wrap up here, I am curious, is there any book or a piece of advice that you will give caregivers, and the best way to really kind of support them and the teen girls that they may interact with, and or the parents who are listening out there, so they all feel a little more confident and empowered?
Gosh, there's so many books that are on my bookshelf. Let me think here for a moment. You know, what's automatically coming up into my mind's eye is Brené Brown for the moms out there. And if you're familiar, if you're a mom listening to this right now and you are familiar with Brené's work, then you're probably nodding your head and giving me a, you know, a psychic high five here. If you are a mom or dad who has not heard of Brené Brown's work, she's great. She really operates from a place of empowerment and non-perfection, you know, healing that perfectionist. So a couple of her books that I love are I Thought It Was Just Me, But It Isn't. And the other book that I love, and I've used it in my women's groups many times, is called Daring Greatly, which is an excellent, excellent book for both. Actually, I've used it in both my men's and women's groups, and both men and women really, really love it. And then there's another great book by Dr. Kristen Neff, N-E-F-F, called Self-Compassion. And it's a really, really nice book. So those are more geared toward the parents, you know, the parents. I've been out of the loop with working with actual teen girls for a while, but I would take aspects of The Artist's Way and, what is it? The Gift of the, what am I trying to say? What is that book by Alice Walker?
Ah! Oh,
You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, you can put it in your notes.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm drawing a blank right now. Oh, the drama of the gifted child.
Yes.
There we go. Yes, that's it. So those are the two that come to mind. But I would imagine because you have your finger on the pulse and you really are a national expert on the topic of teen girls and supporting adolescent girls, that you will probably have some great book recommendations for the teen girls who might be listening to this. And if you are, hi, girls.
Yeah, I can actually include a few books as well. That's for sure. Well, great. I would love if you would talk just a little bit more about your retreat that I mentioned there at the beginning. Tell us a little bit more about when it is, what it's about.
Okay, yes. Okay, thank you for that. So excited. All right. So moms, therapists, women out in the world, this is such a retreat for you. I am excited to be co-facilitating this with another amazing therapist by the name of Anna Osborne. And Anna does great work with women mm-hmm. in the Sacramento area. And Anna and I have long wanted to create a weekend for women, for every woman, Nicole, no matter your ethnicity, no matter your profession, no matter your size, your shape, your orientation. It really and truly is a retreat for every woman. If you are an introvert, an extrovert, whoever you are, we wanted to create a healing weekend for women to come together, a small retreat for women on the beach. Mm. We selected Laguna because it's just an absolutely great relaxing area. We selected an inn called the Inn at Laguna Beach. It's a small little inn. The staff who runs the Inn at Laguna Beach are so nurturing and lovely and are offering us an amazing discount on oceanfront rooms. The inn is literally steps away from the waves. It is so beautiful,
lovely.
So relaxing. It really is. And we decided that we wanted to create a retreat that was a weaving in of self-care time, connection, nurturing, and having fun. And so the tagline for the Shine Retreat, the theme this year is restoration, connection, and fun. And so we have everything planned out. So we call it a drop your bag experience, where you just come, you drop your bag in the room, and you do not have to worry about any details. Anna and I have it all mapped out. And we're not over-scheduling this retreat. You know how I don't know about you, but I've attended conferences and retreat where every single moment mm-hmm. is scheduled. That is not what we're doing.
Yeah.
So we have our first workshop on Friday evening. So I'm sorry, I should tell you the dates. It's this September, Friday the 29th. Check-in starts at 3 p.m. And then we have a welcome hour at 5. And then we have our first workshop on the beach under the stars in PJs. How fun is that, right?
Oh, nice. Yes.
I know. Yes. And then it ends on Sunday, October 1st at noon. So, you know, if you're flying in for the retreat, we'll make sure we get you out of there on time so you can get home. If you're driving in, same thing. We understand that there'll be moms there who are busy working women. And it is just a time and a place for women to come together and let go of things, to heal things. So we have women who are coming who are best friends. We have women coming on their own. We have therapists who are attending, non-therapists. We have a couple of groups, professional women's groups that are coming, which are really fun. And we have women from outside of the United States that are coming. And these women are so nurturing and welcoming and inclusive. And we keep it small. Mm-hmm. Deliberately small, first come, first serve. So whoever registers and sign, then we close once we've filled, because we want to be able to connect and make it a real intimate vibe for the weekend. So it's a mixture. It's a mixture of uplifting and encouraging and inspiring workshops combined with really fun little surprises I don't want to give away. And then we have a super fun dinner planned on Saturday evening. We have yoga on the beach every morning if you want to do that. Breakfast, you name it. So it's all taken care of. The website is www.shineretreatforwomen.com. And I know you'll post that
in the show notes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Excellent. Well, is there any other website or information that you also want to share about how people can get a hold of you? Or is the best way to do that through the shineretreatforwomen.com website?
Well, for those women who would like to join us in Laguna this September, that's the best way of signing up. And it goes through the whole, you know, everything. It lists out the agenda and all the details there. So you can go there. I would say the only thing else, if women want to connect with me in terms of coaching support, so any type of business coaching for therapists, that is a separate website, and that website is thecounselorscoach.com. Again, that's thecounselorscoach.com. And you know, Nicole, I do a lot of coaching nationally for therapists through that website. I think I'm booked right now until, what is it today, the 15th of May. I think I'm booked through July. But reach out, feel free, happy to connect with you if you need support in your practice. Very glad to be of support that way.
Well, Mari, I just so appreciate you coming on today and sharing a little bit more about your past and how there have been so many incredible women in your life over the years that have helped you, cared about you, supported you, role modeled to you how to really continue to follow your dreams. And sometimes, as you were saying, you know, we kind of struggle in that self-care piece, but, you know, kind of waking up to that going, okay, that's so important to do that, and that how we can role model that to teen girls out there, whether it's your daughter or just a teen girl that somehow, you know, in your life, that that self-care piece, that nurturing piece is so important. So thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom with us today.
It has really been my sincere pleasure, and I hope this message goes out far and wide and really offers some wind under the wings of women who either have been hurt or neglected in their own relationship with their mothers. And I think it's especially timely because Mother's Day was just yesterday, right? And also just wanted to give a little shout out to the sisters, the older and the younger sisters, right? Who have also stepped into those mothering roles. I had a wonderful sister, Mary, who has been absolutely beautiful in her support of me. And I believe, you know, my support of her as well. We have a beautiful sisterhood. So we can't forget the sisters either.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so thank you, Nicole, for the wonderful work that you're doing, for getting these important messages out there. It's, again, such a privilege and honor to be here with you today, and I appreciate it.
I hope you found today's episode helpful and get more insight into giving yourself permission regarding how important that self-care piece is for not only caregivers, but for you parents out there as well. Because it role models to your daughters that self-care is okay, creating a space in the budget to have those self-care needs met is really important, and you never know who that's going to impact in their future. I invite you to go out to launchingyourdaughter.com and sign up for the newsletter. I have a new download that's available that once you sign up, you should receive. It's 5 ways of coping with anxiety. Until next time, take care. Thank you for listening to Launching Your Daughter with Nicole Burgess, licensed marriage and family therapist. For more information or to stay up to date, go to launchingyourdaughter.com. You can sign up for my email list or join my Facebook group. Thank you.